You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The Lutheran Hour presents a message by Pastor Ken Klaus titled, United with Him. Now, here's Pastor Klaus.
Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Those living words of truth tell all who are united with Jesus that they have a Savior who will help them in this world and the next. It was not so long ago a small town barber found himself facing some financial difficulties. For years, he had been the only barber in town and had made a reasonable, if not a good, living at his trade. That was changed the day a large haircut salon franchise came to town. The big sign painted on the franchise's window said, "All haircuts, $3. Walk-ins welcome." $3? He had been charging $5. He couldn't survive if he tried to beat his competition's price. That's when, in desperation, he hired an outside business consultant. "I can't compete with $3 haircuts," the barber said. "Can you help me?" The consultant said, "I'll give you an answer tomorrow." The next morning, the consultant showed up at the shop with a huge sign, a sign he hung over the shop's plate glass window. The sign read, "We fix $3 haircuts." Now, if you remember nothing else from this message, I would be pleased if you would remember Jesus fixes the $3 haircuts of life. St. Paul said the same thing in a far better way, a more theological way, when he wrote to the Christians who were living in Rome. He said, "If we have been united with Jesus like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection." Paul's missionary expeditions had taught him that people have a thirst for something in which they can believe, something that...
You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Someone with whom they can be united. St. Paul also knew that this world is more than glad to provide a plethora of possibilities and persons who will promote themselves as being able to fill that bill. In St. Paul's day, the Roman emperor promoted himself as a god. "Have confidence in me, your god," was the public promotion that went out. "Trust your emperor and he will take care of you from cradle to grave." It didn't make any difference if the emperor might have been certifiable. Some people swallowed the slogan, and worship of the reigning Caesar became commonplace. As St. Paul traveled, more than once he ran into some of the new mystery religions. When people became discouraged with the old gods, these religions promised, "Come to us. We have the secrets of happiness. Put your trust in us. We have the hidden knowledge which can make your life complete. Full, successful, happy." Both the emperor and these new religions were saying, "All haircuts, $3, walk-ins welcome." People were being promised answers to their questions, a peaceful solution to their problems, sureness to all of life's uncertainties. They were being offered a deal that sounded almost too good to be true. St. Paul knew that it was. That's why he preached, "Be united with Jesus. Be united with Jesus in his death, be united with Jesus in the resurrected life." St. Paul was telling the world, when you find that you have been flim-flammed, when you realize that you have been taken for a ride, when you catch on that the things in which you've trusted can't be trusted, Jesus can fix you up. Jesus can fix life's $3 haircuts. Sadly, although many people listened to Paul, a great many people didn't. it's not much different today. 30 years as a pastor has taught me that people, thinking that they're getting a real deal, are still searching for a bargain basement answer to their needs. They're looking for a $3 haircut. Here's a few examples. Not so long ago, a 57-year-old woman from Pennsylvania, and I'm not sharing her name or town, went to a psychic for assistance. The psychic encouraged the lady to buy some magic wands, which would help her out. Although it's hard to believe, the psychic just happened to have some of those magic wands in stock. So the lady bought a magic wand, which was designed to eliminate her anxiety and negativity. In an unselfish mood, the woman returned to the psychic to buy another wand, which would help her nephew. The next trip to the psychic ended up with the lady proudly possessing a magic wand, which would help her dead mother get out of wherever she was now and into heaven. The final tally for the magic wands was almost $5,500. It was right about then that the woman started to wonder if she hadn't been getting a $3 haircut. She called her sister and asked for advice. Am I being taken for a ride? On her sister's advice, the woman called the police. The police investigated and, not surprisingly, concluded that the wands were indeed magic. Those wands had managed to make the woman's money disappear. Now, I'm absolutely positive that you would never be taken in by something that silly. You would never get such a ridiculous $3 haircut. But most of us have been shorn at some time or another. Most of us have attached ourselves to someone or something which initially sounded great, glorious, and grand, but which later proved fake, false, and foolish. Last fall, I watched America's political party rallies. What fascinating fun. Two men talked, two men debated, two men rallied allegiances, called in markers, made glowing predictions, and gleaming promises of the future, which was absolutely, positively guaranteed if the people would only trust and vote for him. Now, I believe with all my heart that those men were sincere in what they said. I have to believe that. But I also believe that no matter who had been elected, it wouldn't take but a week or two for the writers on Saturday Night Live and the late evening talk shows to begin to satirize the president, to point out his weaknesses, to take him apart like a clock. At any rate, if you haven't gotten united with a politician, to whom have you tied yourself? Is it a person? I've seen that a lot. I've seen men and women come into my office and ask to be married. They're walking on clouds. They have stars in their eyes and have Cupid's arrows in their hearts. They call each other names like Cuddlykins and Honey Dumplin. Their wedding interview takes forever because they can't decide who is going to reply to the questions first. What do you think, Lammy Love? I don't know. I guess I just think what you think, Dipsy Doodle. They are so obviously in love that when they walk into a room, other women get envious and all the men grow nauseous. The couple is positive that nothing in this world will ever be able to change the way they feel about each other. They know, not they hope, not they believe, not they are convinced, they know that they have found true love. In honesty, some of them have found just that. When they celebrate their golden wedding anniversary, they are still applauding and appreciating and loving each other. They're blessed. But if statistics are to be believed, someday, one day, one of them or both of them will wake up, look at Lammy Love or Dipsy Doodle and ask, "What was I thinking of? Was I nuts?" Well, yes, you were. But you were also deaf to the people who were warning you about Cuddlykins and Honey Dumplin. Now, it is possible that none of what I've said has applied to you. Maybe you are one of the really shrewd people of this world who knows that since human beings change, relationships will also change. You're looking for something more permanent than what any person can give. No, sir. If you're going to invest yourself and your trust, if you're going to unite your future with anything, it's going to be in a something and not a someone. Let me ask, how's that been going for you? Have you had any success? Have you found anything that you can trust absolutely, completely, unreservedly, and unconditionally? Is there anything in which you can unite yourself and not be worried about coming away with a $3 haircut? Maybe the stock market? Yeah, good luck with that. How about bonds? That works good as long as the right conditions are there, but the right conditions don't last, do they? Maybe you believe in land. You know, Native Americans used to have a saying, only the rocks live forever. Will you be able to have faith in the land when you find out you're not going to live forever? I doubt it. So, knowing all this, maybe you've decided you're not going to trust anything or anybody. Maybe you are completely, totally independent, self-reliant, self-actuated, and self-assured. You don't need anybody. I would think it gets pretty lonely being all by yourself that way. Maybe you can do it. I know I couldn't. Don't know anybody who could. Let me sum all of this up. Have you ever gone to a museum? Of course you have. Did you see the stuffed animals there? You remember how they looked? The eagle seems to be flying, but he never makes it out of that glass case. The wolf seems to be letting out a howl, but there's no sound. The lion is gnawing on a freshly made kill, but he never swallows. The trout always seems to be rising to the water's surface for a meal, but the insect is eternally safe. These animals look real. Their exteriors look real. Their eyes of glass have more brightness than the natural eye of the creature, but there is something lacking in that menagerie of fin, feather, and fur. No matter how real the animal looks, he is not. In a similar way, this world offers many things to believe in, to trust in, to cling to, but the things of this world are not real. They cannot ultimately answer your needs. They will, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, maybe whenever, let you down. If you unite yourself with them, you will be disappointed. For some of you, that disappointment will be both shattering and shocking, devastating and demoralizing. Like the stuffed animals, which look real but aren't, the things of this world look like they will satisfy, but they don't. They are a $3 haircut. That's the bad news. The good news is Jesus fixes life's $3 haircuts. It doesn't sound deep or theological, but it's true. Only Jesus can fix life's $3 haircuts. Throughout this message, I've been saying Jesus fixes the $3 haircuts of life. He does. He always has. As God's Son sent to save this world from its sins, from itself, that was what Jesus did. There was the time when a giant crowd of people, thousands of people, followed him. Sadly, they forgot to bring something to eat. Hours passed. Stomachs started to growl. Attention started to wander. Those who were borderline diabetic or hypoglycemic started to feel uncomfortable. There was no place they could go to grab a bite. Jesus fed them. There was a time he ran into 10 men who had leprosy. These men found no relief in medicine. Although the disease is curable today, back then the doctors were helpless. These men were living dead, unwelcome in society, banished from their own families. Faced with such sadness, such helplessness, Jesus healed them. Healthy and whole, he sent them for an examination and then home again to a new life. There was the time that Jesus met a woman, a widow, who was on the way out of town to bury her only son. Jesus saw her heartache and restored the boy to his mother. He did the same for a man whose daughter had died, the sisters whose brother had passed away. On those days when nobody else could help, Jesus did. But there is more. So much more I need to tell you about. When his disciples were out on the lake and a storm threatened to capsize their boat and drown them all, Jesus silenced the storm with a word. When he met a man, a tax collector, a pariah to the society, Jesus called the man to discipleship. When a woman was caught committing adultery and was about to be stoned, Jesus saved her. More importantly, he forgave her sin. Don't take my word for it. Get a Bible. Read for yourself. Take a look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Every time they show Jesus, the Savior is fixing someone's $3 haircut. The blind received their sight, those who were lame walked, the lepers were cleansed, the deaf were given their hearing, the dead were raised up, and the poor had the gospel preached to them. The gospel, the good news of salvation, the story of Jesus Christ being born in Bethlehem, a Savior who lived his life under the law, a Savior who gave himself every moment of every day for us, a Savior who was betrayed, beaten, spit upon, crucified, and died. That's the story of salvation. the story of salvation where a living God comes forth from the tomb on the third day. The story that is for you. Right now, Jesus, God's news, is coming to fix the $3 haircut life has given you. The $3 haircut that you wanted. No, I don't know what your problem is. I don't know the hand you have been dealt, the problems you have faced, the difficulties, the worries, the heartaches, the pain you have. I only know that when you are brought to Jesus with a repentant heart, when the Holy Spirit leads you to faith in Him, He will fix things. He will straighten things every time, all the time. And that is where some people disagree. They scornfully snicker at such a suggestion. With a snide sneer, they say, "Really? Well, I've seen the world. There are people starving. Jesus hasn't fed them. There are blind and deaf and diseased and cancerous. Jesus hasn't healed them. I know people who believe in Jesus, but whose $3 haircuts haven't been fixed by the Savior." Well, I know people to whom Jesus has given immediate answers to their problems. I know people, too, who are still waiting. Jesus doesn't always answer people the way they want or on the timetable they want. Jesus isn't a magic wand you can wave over life's pain and problems. He is a Savior who, by carrying our sins, by resisting the temptations to which we have succumbed, who, by dying the death that we deserve, rescues us. He is not a servant who waits on us. He is our Savior who has, with His blood, redeemed us. And He will, in His time, according to His purpose, fix every single one of the bad things that have come to those who believe on Him as their Lord. On Judgment Day, Jesus will come, and there will be no more hunger, no more illness, no more crying, no more sadness, no more death for those who believe in Him. The time will come when there will be no more pains or problems. Jesus has promised that to all who believe. That is God's guarantee. St. Paul said it, if we have been united with Him in His death, we will certainly be united with Him in His resurrection. Jesus fixes life's $3 haircuts. If you haven't understood what I've been saying, I'd like to finish with one more try. Not so long ago, a pastor told me about a visit he made to the maternity ward of a hospital. While he called on one of his people, he kept hearing the cries of a baby. On the way out, one of the nurses asked if he could spare some time and come with her. She led him to the room with the crying infant. The baby's skin was blotched with bruises, scrapes, and not a few scars. "An accident?" "No," the nurse replied. "Parents, abusive parents." The nurse picked up the baby. His cries turned to screams. He was afraid to be touched. Then the nurse held the baby, surrounded that baby with a loving, firm touch. Slowly, ever so slowly, the baby quieted. Then the nurse asked, "Pastor, would you say a prayer for this baby?" He did. Just like I'm saying a prayer for you. For all of you who have been battered and bruised by life, who have one of life's $3 haircuts, I am praying you will know that Jesus wants to hold you and help you, comfort you and calm you. He will do that unless you stop Him. If you would like to be held in the Savior's love that way, if you want to be united with Him in life and past death, then call us at the number we're going to give before this broadcast concludes. Amen.